love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Eat a poo-poo.
Luro. And Marvel 2K.
Something dark side. Something complete.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to episode 125 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of December 30th, 2015. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Lural. Lural, how you doing today?
I love that so much.
I took so much pride.
Something complete.
And Paul Arndorf was great.
Yeah, that thing, I took so much pride and so much work into that thing, because it's like, you can hear the three parts, the guy, the girl, and they do it in concert. I'm like, oh.
He'd never heard it, by the way, everyone.
Yeah.
That man had never heard Paul Orndorff's WCW.
And for those of you who aren't pro wrestling fans, I don't care if you've never watched a match in your entire life, go on the YouTube, put Paul Orndorff WCW theme. It's the greatest thing ever. I want to walk around to that theme song all day and all night. Okay. And Marvel 2K, how are you doing today?
Eat the poop.
Nice. Nice. All right, let's go into our first segment. As always, the lightning round.
Danger.
Okay, for this week's Source Lightning Round, we have two books, and two books only. They are War Stories and James Bond. The first of which I did not have time to read, and the second of which me and Lural read, but we felt like we're not going to do a full review because we don't really have a whole lot to talk about. So, Lural, what did you think of this week's War Stories?
War Stories is good. It was sad. It ended the story of the guys who did the bombings over Japan. And this issue was kind of funny because it took place.
Talk about death and war is funny to you.
And all about, well, no, it's just the situation. Cause on page two, they dropped one of the bombs. The big bomb.
High comedy.
I'm just saying, but then they had to continue fighting because it didn't end after the first bomb drop. So they still had to go on another mission. They were all down about it. One of the guys after the mission in the last issue where, he was really sad because pretty much everyone died but him. He ended up crashing in this.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived. He landed on the ground there. But all we see, like, the last page is, like, a bunch of Japanese guys grab him, and they're stomping the shit out of him. And then I guess Japanese commanding officer comes over and pulls his sword out, and he's going to kill him.
Uh-oh.
And the indication was the guy didn't really want to live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But, I mean, he basically got killed right before the war ended. So that was kind of a downer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wasn't a bad issue, though. This series is good.
Yeah, it has been from, I think, almost from the get-go. I mean, initially when I first saw the first issue, there was so much text, I was like, I don't know. But since I've taken the plunge and actually decided to read every single issue of War Stories, it's a really good book.
It's because it only has three-issue arcs. So, I mean, the only storyline I haven't liked was the Irish guys fighting the Nazis.
That had its moments, though.
Yeah, it did, but I didn't really like it. Cause it was fine cause it wasn't about the war.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, it wasn't really about the war. So that was okay. And you got something you don't read about a lot. And that was kind of cool. But overall, I just didn't dig it that much. I like the issues where they show airplanes more.
Nice. As do I. Those
I like,
are in fact,
I
very
like the way
issue.
The guy draws them.
You're such a dork.
I think they're cool.
You like the way the artist draws the pre-planes.
Yes, and I don't like the way he draws people very much, so.
Okay. Gotta take the good with the bad, right?
Yeah.
All right, and our final lightning round review will be James Bond, which, you know, if you would have told me that three issues in, I would have been kind of bored with the idea of Warren Ellis telling a James Bond story. I would have been like, you're a liar.
I told you in the first issue, this would make a really good movie. but it would make a really good action-y James Bond movie, which as a comic isn't that great because you're just going from action piece to action piece, which is fine, but there's not a whole lot of story there.
Yeah, but then again, who, are you going to be able to get Warren Ellis to write a movie? Are they, is, what, show me what studio is going to give him free reign to write a movie.
Well, probably no one, but...
Exactly. To me, if they wanted to make this work, they shouldn't have bothered with single issues and just sold it as graphic novels.
Well, you know what? The art's good. The writing is still good. It's just, you know, it's so action heavy. I had a huge complaint about this. I did a big post on Facebook and nobody could fill me in. Okay, so he's got his little gun, right? The James Bond gun.
Yes.
He's shooting guys in this issue from 20, 30 feet away and their entire skulls are exploding. Now, I will give Ellis credit. In that, I complained about this, went on Facebook, posted about it, read the next page, and then he does a little x-ray thing where he shows the bullet entering the guy, and then it fragments. Which, okay, here's the thing. Fragmented bullets exist. However, a gun that small, the physics don't work. It couldn't push it out with enough force so that after it entered the guy's head, it would then be able to splinter off and go out the back of his head. Doesn't work. These bullets exist, but it would have to be a bigger gun. This is a really small thing to complain about, but I bring it up because there was so little going on in this issue that I focused on this the entire time and couldn't get over it.
Yeah, the novelty of having a James Bond book is quickly wearing on me. Like, that's why I kind of felt like Star Wars. Like, the first issue I was so gung-ho. I'm like, oh my god, I love Star Wars and I love reading comic book. It's a marriage made in heaven. But by now I'm like, okay, the novelty's kind of over.
I'm going to keep reading it because it reads so fucking fast because there's so little dialogue. And there was a cool part where they sent a bad guy in to go kill Bond, but instead he just killed everybody in the Berlin office, which was like a it's like a sub-office of MI6 or whatever they're in, and they don't really get a lot of action. But the guy just goes in, he fucking kills everyone. And then he goes back to the car, and apparently murdering people makes him hot, so he fucks that broad and tries to kill Bond. That was a little creepy.
A little bit.
I'm like, okay, well, our villains are suitably creepy. That's good.
I think I may Sandman this like Marvel does, and just wait for a couple issues. Yeah, wait till it's done, then go back and read it.
Is it a mini series though?
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it seems like it's just open ended, but I don't see how you can do a continuing series of James Bond that just goes on forever.
I think it was a mini.
Well, James Bond doesn't stop going on missions. I mean, it feels like a mini because we have a story and they're not teasing future stories. They're just dealing with this one story. So I don't know.
Well, it's also Ellis too. Eventually he's going to get bored and want to do something else.
And then Brian Wood will come right in. So it'll be all right.
All right. That sounds like good times. All right. Let's go into this week's books. Dollar to the guy that can name that song.
No clue.
Is it like an 8-bit version of something from?
I'm gonna give it away in the sense that
when you say it, I'm gonna know it.
Give me
a hint.
It's a 16-bit version of a song.
It's from Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
No,
right?
Close though.
It's not.
Nope.
I'm gonna know when you say it.
Yeah,
just say it.
It's Player House 2.
Oh, God. You should have said Genesis then.
Well, I said 16-bit. What other systems does that leave you?
Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Was that 16-bit? I thought that was 32.
Nope.
I think some games could get up to 32.
No. 32 is based on the system, not the game.
Ah, okay. All right, let's go to this week's book, which include Code Prue number 1, Lewis and Clark 3, Black Magic 3, Ragnarok 7, Lazarus 21, Rat Queens 14, Ringside 2, Wolverine 3, Spider-Man 6, Captain America White 5, Carnage 3, Howard the Duck 3, Obi-Wan Anakin 1, Spider-Man 29-5, and Squadron Supreme 2.
Yes.
Good haul of books this week. I feel like this is a reoccurring gimmick, but it's absolutely true. But let's prove this by opening with our first book, Co-Pru number one, writer Garth Ennis, art by Ralu Caceres.
This was some classic Garth Ennis here.
It was a really good story, but then yeah, you could see the shades of Garth Ennis in this book.
I very much enjoyed this book. It was a Garth Ennis comedy book, basically. Although I assume he'll mix in some more serious stuff about four roommates.
They're like hipster college girls.
Yeah, one of them is kind of a hipster girl who wants to be a witch. One of them is a nerdy girl who also wants to be a witch. One of them is a
poser.
Very fat lesbian who wants to be a witch so she can have sex with girls. And the other one is not caring about the witch stuff at all. She's just a roommate. Her name is Prue. She is the main character.
She's into, what is it, science and...
And computers and...
NASA.
Actual things. Our other character is a guy who apparently works in a hospital. He's a medical researcher, but he has an elder god. trapped in the basement. And, it looks like one of the Lovecraft elder gods. It doesn't look like Cthulhu. It looks like one of the other ones. It's all just tentacles and eyes and mouths. And you expect this to be very creepy, but then he reveals that he's going down there and playing Monopoly with him.
Because he's bored.
Yeah, because he has nothing to do because he's successfully trapped him here. And, he's asking the elder god, various questions, like, is there an afterlife and stuff.
He's like, you're asking a god if there's an afterlife, if there's something supernatural out there.
He's like, you're a fucking idiot, but he has great lines, like when he tells him he wants to be the little dog this time, but it's a big monster saying it.
Although, to be fair, it's like, what would a god know about the afterlife?
Well, he'd live in it, right? Or would have created it. I don't know. He's an elder god. He said he's from another dimension.
Ah, never mind then.
So he's not like god. He's a god.
And apparently he also, the guy who has him there, I don't know. He said he's like, he has like a love interest that he's going to talk to him about. I wonder if it's going to be one of those girls or somebody else entirely, or if this is just like a separate story, separate from what's going on with those girls.
One imagines it'll tie up. I mean, this is, okay. So the poser girl, she's actually going to do something called the Grand Rite, which will take the god of witchcraft and like bend her to her will or make her give her powers. But the other ones are kind of questioning this, like, well, if this actually works, can't horrible things happen and you might die? And she's like, oh, fuck you. It's fine. I'm going to take care of this. I'm boss. They've already established that you can take supremely powerful beings and bend them to your will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe she's going to call another one of these things, or maybe this guy, and then the doc will get worried that his elder god friend has disappeared. I honestly don't know where they're going with it, because a lot of this was just getting over the characters' personalities and telling some kind of funny jokes.
Yeah.
I liked when the lesbian showed up at her door in the middle of the night with her giant 8-foot-long strap on, which she just, Prue was not having this. She just shuts the door and goes to bed, but then the girl's stuck in the door.
Are you a lesbian? She said, no, I'm not a lesbian.
She's such a cartoonish lesbian.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shiki, for
Ennis
interjection. We need to.
Trouble for that.
Prue doesn't even pay her no mind. He's like, yeah, get away from here.
And she's like, I'm not gay. I don't get away.
If there's one nitpick I have is the fact that there's no colors on this book. It's just black and white.
I just thought it was weird. I haven't read a black and white comic in
Don't say that, because remember I already pointed out we read Walking Dead.
Yeah, well, aside from that, I told Marvel that last night. I'm like, I can't remember the last time I read Black.
You fool!
He goes, you read Walking Dead every month, and I'm like, yeah, but that's not really memorable. So,
idiot.
I kind of most months I read Walking Dead, and then I completely forgot I read it.
So yeah, great book. Thanks for the recommendation. I'm only going to telegraph people until it's a contender for book of the week. I loved it.
Tell Garth Ennis, because that's the only reason I picked this book.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, this isn't about war, and Garth Ennis wrote it. Let's try it.
Okay, there you go. All right, let's move on to our next book, Superman Lois and Clark number 3, writer Dan Jurgens, art by Lee Weeks.
It'll be so sad when this book gets canceled.
Yeah, when is this getting canceled?
I don't think it's getting canceled. Well, wait,
well, low sales.
I mean, all Superman books sell low, but this one sells lower.
I hate comic
like
book
it's in
fans.
The top 100, which is usually enough to keep a book going, but it's not high up there. It's not doing great, which is a fucking shame because this book is really good.
I was hoping this book was going to be done so well that they would have overtaken the actual Superman book, and eventually we'd get, you know, the replacement.
I'm sure they'll do a crossover of that eventually.
Oh yeah, I already told you. I already saw the solicitations for this, I think March, and they've already teased that they're going to do a crossover between the two.
Well, it's also got the negative of being named after a goofy-ass TV show from about 20 years ago. So
I don't think that's the reason why people aren't buying it, though.
Their names aren't even Lois and Clark in the comic.
No. That's their names.
That's not what they go by.
Yeah, they got aliases, because remember, they're undercover. The book opens where it shows Superman several years ago, I guess when he first got there, and he encountered a villain named Blank, which I guess he knew he was dangerous, but he had to, you know, like, keep him away from people. So instead of killing him, he kept him in prisoner in his new Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he has telepathic ability. And when he got Henshaw from that shuttle, he awoke Henshaw with his telepathic abilities to get him out of there.
Henshaw is Cyborg. For people who don't know,
it's Cyborg Superman, right?
Not it's Cyborg Superman, yeah. Not Cyborg the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He's responsible for Green Lantern becoming Parallax before Jeff Johns retconned it.
I thought it was what's his name?
No. He's the one who him and who was it? Mongol.
Yeah, that was just Mongol.
No. It was him and Mongol. They destroyed. Was it Coast City? Is that where they lived?
Yeah,
they destroyed the city, though. So, there you go.
There's your comic book knowledge.
Maybe this guy will be evil and he'll destroy it again, and then we'll have New 52 Parallax.
I think Parallax is still bebopping around in the Green Lantern books.
Actually, Green Lantern kept his continuity, so.
Yeah, he kept his continuity.
The city was destroyed at some point.
Him and Batman kept their continuities.
Okay, but I think that. Okay.
Also, apparently the intergang don't suspect Lois. They think Lois is working for whoever is writing the book, although it is Lois.
But they're not going after her because they think she's Lois Lane. They just know that she's the mystery writer. That's helping.
They think she knows the mystery writer.
Yeah, they think she knows the mystery writer. Not that she.
My mistake.
We met intergang's boss, who is some big, muscled up, rich guy,
like Kingpin.
Yeah, but not fat.
We need to coordinate this better because I want my Scott Steiner. He's fat drop.
Well, but he's not. So you'd have to add in like someone going not.
All right, let's continue the review. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay,
kind of. Yeah, they Blank is possibly mind controlling.
Not possibly. It appears to be that.
Okay, he's. He's definitely mind-controlling Cyborg, who did come back off, which is his origin. He went to outer space and then came back and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book. Let's see. I have two books in front of me. Let's go with the better of the two, in my opinion. Black Magic number 3, writer Greg Rucka, art by Nicola Scott.
We got a glimpse on who some of these villains are, finally. The end. Germans. And some French guy.
Well, Germans are always the bad guy. Well, there is more on the French guy in the very long text backups, which I refuse to read.
Good man.
Yeah, this seems to be the same plot that is going on in three separate books already. The guys who are trying to extinguish magic.
It's like a theme. It's like they all decided to gather together and tell the exact same story and decide who tells it the best.
Yeah, there's something up with that lighter that one dude from the first issue lit himself with.
Mm-hmm.
So the female, Rowan, she basically created a new lighter and stole the evidence and replaced that evidence with that one. Because I guess they're trying to examine the lighter to see what's going on. They have some stuff. They have a lot of mystical. I guess vampires exist in this world too. Because they did the whole "let me in" thing with the house.
Nice.
There's some shit going on with Rowan and her partner Morgan. Not sure what. Something.
Yeah, see, I didn't have a lot to say on this book. That's why I was like, maybe we should bump up the lightning round.
Well, a lot of it was a bunch of pages with no text and a bunch of pages that were in German that I couldn't read. So
yeah, it's
yeah,
weird that
there
they
were a lot
like that.
In German and French.
Because yeah. Usually they'll do the gimmick of where they show it's German and then immediately, you know, just to establish that this, they're speaking in German and then they'll switch over to English. But there was like a good two or three pages that were all in German.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, this has become a thing in comics where they stop doing the translations.
The only time it doesn't bug me is when it's in Spanish, because I actually can...
Well, I guess the theory is, like, we have Google now, so you could just, you know, go translate it, but...
Yeah, but some of these things are like, if it's in Japanese...
Yeah, like, how am I going to write that?
Yeah, I mean, unless you go through the trouble of doing, you know, making your keyboard so it types stuff in kanji.
Yeah. Okay. You guys ready to move on to the next book?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Ragnarok number 7, writer Walter Simonson as well as the artist.
This felt like it's going to go on hiatus now. I don't think it is, but it felt that way.
You got
way.
That vibe? Because it seemed like they set up some big stuff, and there's like, okay.
Hiatus the last issue, I think.
So, well, okay, maybe not then. Well, either way, Thor, he put Odin's eye in, and he found Odin's old, his palace, I guess. And he's looking around, and he noticed while he's looking around, you know, everything's kind of destroyed, but someone has built a new thing there, the bad guy, the Lord of the Dead. He's built, like, a castle on top of it. And under, there's a hidden thing under where Odin's throne was, which has a bunch of those life apples. So, Thor takes this to mean they knew he would survive and would be the last god. So I guess he needs to get to these life apples so he can become normal Thor again. I'm not sure on that. They haven't exactly gone into detail on what these things do except keep him alive.
A lot of this, you gotta understand, he's using the source material. So, somebody who actually understands all this Norse mythology probably can keep up with the story better than us. A lot of it, that's what it is.
Okay, that's fine.
Also, apparently, he met up with that elf and his daughter. And, you know, you find out that that's the husband and daughter of the one elf he killed. Apparently the daughter became possessed or something. So he ended up killing her. Which was kind of a downer.
She's sick.
Yeah.
And they wanted her to get the immortality, and Thor was trying to show him, you know, oh, he gave you that sword, but it's a cursed sword. But if he said she's immortal, then we can test it, and then he killed her. Now, I personally think Thor promised that chick he'd keep her daughter safe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume it has something to do with that sword or something, but this girl is not going to stay dead. Because in storyline, it didn't make any sense for Thor to kill her.
Also, at the end of the issue, it's him and that elf. They're battling these things called fire starters.
So I guess, they're Surtur's guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they established at the beginning of this book, yeah. The Surtur's.
Yeah.
They called them fire starters. I was thinking it was like, this is like the Prodigy song.
Nice. Nice, Marvel.
Wow. No, but they show up, and then him and elf guy are going to fight them. Elf guy seemed to get over his daughter's death fairly quickly.
Yeah, no shit.
then again, they showed he couldn't really kill Thor, so. You know.
Nice, Marvel. That was you could not help yourself. Fine, just let it go. Let it go.
Well, the next issue then will be them fighting a lot.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's a fine issue.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Lazarus 21. Writer Greg Rucka, art by Michael Lark.
Before we talk about this, this book I do read the backups on. And this is where I...
this has nothing to do with Prodigy Marvel.
Sorry, accent.
This book I do read the backups on, and I went and read the backup, and Rucka apologized for how late so many of the issues have been. And then he started off with what we hate to hear, so I don't want the next set of issues to be late. So we're taking a break. And I'm reading, how long is this break going to last?
Oh, God.
Okay, in next month, a trade comes out. The month after that, another trade comes out. The month after that, they're doing a one-shot called, like, the Carlisle Sourcebook, which is going to have a bunch of background info, info on the Carlisle family, info on the history of the world. It'll probably be a really interesting read. It's not a comic. It's like an addition to the comic that explains the world and its history better, which will probably be interesting. But the long and short of it is, Lazarus is not coming back until May.
Ooh.
He said, at which point the next story arc will be completely done. I can appreciate that, but I really like this book, and I'm kind of mad that I gotta wait until May.
May of 2016. That's... It's January now.
Yeah, that's a long break. But you know what? Do what you gotta do. At least then I won't have to wait 2 months between issues. Instead, I'll just have to wait 5 months. But then I'll get a bunch of issues.
That's good. Anything we want to go specific on the review?
Well, anyways, wherever she's back from the grave, remember she had been previously killed, but you know, they brought her back.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically the Solid Snake of the comic book game.
Nice.
Huh?
She continues to lead her squad deeper into Hawk-occupied territory. It's a place called, what is it, Duluth?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's an important strategic military stronghold that apparently, if they take it, they turn the tide of war.
Ooh, okay.
A lot of it was them just trying to fight the Hawk and, you know, take it back. A lot of pretty good action scenes, actually, in this. There's other situations going on. Joanna... She's taking the seat as the head of the family when it comes to dealing with their shaky allies, because apparently the older son is too much of a nice guy. We also kind of get a little bit closure on the father.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out what was going on with the disease. Apparently, they were using the remember the son that had been taken captured?
Yes, I remember that. Yes,
synthesized his blood to create that.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's why the virus was specifically tailored to the father, right?
Yeah.
Ah.
So I don't know if now they're going to be able to find a cure, but
that was the what they were insinuating.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Good book. It's a shame that we're going to have to wait so long to read it, but I'm sure it'll be well worth the wait. It's one of the very few. It's one of the best image books out there, to be honest.
I didn't get the end though. There was something with the end I wasn't really sure of.
It was a flashback. That's why.
No, but remember before the flashback, they said that she was gone. I'm like, did she leave?
Yeah, was it a flashback? Or did something happen to forever and now she's a little girl?
Look back at that page and explain. It's like they were doing the flashback dialogue during the stuff that was happening. But then she said she was leaving, but either she left at the same time as the flashback where she leaves to, I guess, meet this other Lazarus.
And she went to talk to the Vintner.
Yeah.
Would she have been that old when Forever was young?
She might have. She might have been around longer than Forever.
Yeah, she could have been, but we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that. I'm just assuming.
And now there's a giant break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not sure.
Yeah, I was a little confused by the end. I think she also left the battlefield, and they showed her when she met somebody in the past.
Yeah, so it very well could have been the past, because that story wise, that makes sense.
Yeah, it syncs up the way that could be Forever.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Rat Queens number 14, writer Curtis J. Wybie, art by. Let's see if I can do this. Steve Jack Sedgwick.
You liked this more than I did.
I loved it. It's another contender for Book of the Week. I've been down on Rat Queens, and I wasn't even sure I was going to make time for this, but then I found a way to squeeze some time, yeah. And I was like, why not? Rat Queens has had a good history up until now. I'll give it a shot, and I loved it.
Wait, I want to explain this. By squeeze some time in, what Fat Man means is, Fat Man looked at this book, said, the art sucks, Rat Queens sucks, I'm not going to read it.
I read it
and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. It was funny. and then he read it. So I basically had talk him into reading
it. No, I don't think you did. I finished everything early, and I had some extra time, and I was like, okay, let's read Rat Queens. Because it's still kind of a big deal book, so.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
This issue, let me see how quick I can go through this. I still only know Hannah Snape.
I always forget everybody's name. It's Hannah and like, who's the
Hannah, Smidge.
Betty.
Betty. Hannah and Betty. Dwarf. Yeah. And Voodoo Girl.
I don't remember her name either.
Which, by the way, is me, not saying Black Girl. I am calling her Voodoo Girl.
She is, in fact, a Voodoo Girl.
Even though, well, she's not even really Voodoo. She's more, she's worshiping an old god, we found out. She met up with her brother in the last issue. And God, this was such an info dump comic.
Fine by me.
She explained to him that she found out that the god they worship, the only reason they worship him is because he was trying to destroy the world. So her people trapped him, but to keep him weak, they have to cast spells in his name, which draws on his power. So the only reason they worship him is so they will continue to use magic in his name, thus keeping him weak. Her and her brother, once she came to the school to find text on him, to find out how to actually kill him, to basically free her people from this. Hannah, meanwhile, found out that her dad, back in the day, sort of led a revolt at the school against the evil people who were running it. But then they formed a new, a ruling council, who then turned against her father. And that is why he has now been put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then Betty and the dwarf were fighting a dragon, and Betty is there alone with her little daggers, and she stabs the dragon in the nose. And the dragon's like, can you please take that out? As it turns out, dragons don't eat people, which when asked why, he's like, well, do you eat dogs? He's
you
like,
puppies.
We can't eat you. Yeah, you have such cute eyes. So, dragons don't eat people. Well, they wanted to steal stuff from him. The dwarf really wanted this fancy sword. And he's like, oh, that's not my treasure. That's just my garbage pit. He's like, my treasure's over here. And he's got giant amounts of candy, which he has collected from various adventurers who has come into his cave. Betty decides this is the greatest thing ever and wants to live with him forever.
Dragon, pretty funny.
Yeah, the dragon was very entertaining. And
I love when he contemplated killing them. He's like, you know what? How would you feel if you were laying down in your house and someone decides to break in, steal your stuff, and stab you in the face?
That's a good point. But he didn't kill him.
No, so. Then Betty asked him a question. He's like, do dragons like their balls tickled? And he just laughs.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, and then Betty's like, no, I'm serious.
Of all the things she could ask him, she asked him that. They basically gave them the story is because they wanted to keep everybody in the story. Hannah has a fairly serious story to work through. Voodoo Girl has a fairly serious story to work through. These two got fucking nothing going on.
Woo!
So they're having adventures with the dragon.
Yeah.
And it's fun, you know? It's good comic relief for the book.
Let it be known, I like dumb fun in my comic books.
I do too. As long as it's not 100% dumb fun. Like, this is good use of dumb fun.
Yeah, in the sense that you have this heavy plot stuff going on in half the book, and then to make it not so heavy, you have some light stuff going on. It's the perfect combination.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Ringside Number 2, writer Joe. Let's see if I can pronounce this. Kotian, art by Nick Barber.
I just want to say I called it.
Do we got? We got
this book opened up with the greatest swerve,
double swerve.
Yes.
And so, because in the last issue, he goes to his military friend's house and asks her to show him all his guns. This book opens up with her going,
what are you
basically, okay, you've seen him, but you're a fucking idiot. She's like, number one, I'm a responsible gun owner, so all these guns are registered. So if you think you're going to take my guns and go all Rambo and kill a bunch of drug dealers, it'll get traced back to me. That's not going to happen. She's like, number two, I don't know where you got the idea you're a big badass. You spent the last 30 years of your life fake fighting on TV. You're not a retired athlete. You're a retired actor.
Ouch.
Just fucking dressed him down. Yep. And he was a little downtrodden by this, but he went to his his bail bondsman friend, the one who wanted to use him in advertising.
Yeah.
And basically asked if he could go a ride along with one of the guys, who he then asked him, he's like, I need your help finding this guy. And he's like, well, I know a lot of criminals. That's cool. And he's like, his name is Eduardo. And then he's like, okay, that's one name. And we're in LA.
That could be literally anybody.
Name basis that is such a big deal.
He's like, I mean, I could ask around, but I don't think you're going to have a lot of luck. Well, while he's going after a guy, he takes his taser.
Yeah, he steals his taser and he goes after the guys that, I guess, who beat him up. Even after all this, getting dressed down.
After being told it's stupid. But, also, we did get confirmation. The Wrestling Federation we saw in the first issue is the WWE.
Yeah, I love the part where they give it
a name though. It has a
yeah,
name.
It was a CWF, like, maybe.
Actually, let me check real quick. I can.
When they release people, they wish them the best in their future endeavors. That's why
they don't want their talent hanging out with former talent who left the company on bad terms.
Him especially.
Yeah, well, yeah, because this guy was a big deal and he left on the bad terms. So yeah, that. But no, that first issue, it must have been a house show. Because we were saying it looks kind of rinky dink, but they're acting like it's, you know,
major league,
like it's WWF. But given that they have a talent relations department and stuff, that must have just been a house show. And this is the WWF, this comics version of it.
Yeah, I was thinking that they were actually on the indies in the first issue. But that guy is a guy they bring from time to time to work.
Oh, you know what? You might be right because his little buddy.
Yeah, he's, I don't think he works on the roster.
Yeah, cause he was like, oh, he goes, oh, it's just talent relations. He's like, oh, did they mention me?
Yeah.
But he would then still work for them.
Yeah, he works for them, but he's not like, I guess, a major person in the company.
But he gets to do indies?
Well, I think what he is like, maybe like a, maybe he's like a talent scout or some shit, or maybe like, you know, like a guy who trains talent at the performance center, maybe occasionally.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just speculating here. Maybe the writer has a limited knowledge of wrestling and he thinks aside from WrestleMania, maybe this is what wrestling is.
I think he would have done his research.
Oh, by the way, the name of the company is called, Champion Max Wrestling Inc.
So it's, CMW.
Yeah.
Wait, let me. CMW. Yeah, that works.
I like that's the test.
It has, well, you have to be able to chant it.
No, you don't chant. No, who was the last time anyone chanted WWE?
Well, no one ever, but they chant ECW and, TNA sucks. TNA sucks. It's gotta be three letters. It's like names in wrestling. They have to either be two or three syllables.
Ah. At least American
or you
wrestling.
Have to sing it like Undertaker. There are rules about this.
Yes.
That's why all wrestlers have one name now in WWF.
For the most part.
Because you can't go Antonio Cesaro. That's awkward, but you can go Cesaro. See? Neville. See? Yeah.
But then you have your top guy, Roman Reigns. He's got two names.
Roman. Well, then you could pick either one.
Yeah, see.
But it's alliterative because they both start with an R, so that's okay.
Okay, we're getting bogged down in the minutia of pro wrestling. Let's continue with this review. Or was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, sorry about that then. My mistake. I was like, isn't there plenty more that we need to talk about this book?
No, we covered it.
Do Howard the Duck next because I haven't finished reading it.
Okay, let's see if I can't fast forward. I had my proper order. But that's fine. I can do this stuff on the fly. Let me just get the writer and artist information. Howard the Duck number 3, writer Chip, let's see if I remember, Zdarsky, art by Daniello Bayruth.
Apparently Howard is now the Nexus portal.
The Nexus of all realities.
Howard is the Nexus of all realities, which is an old Marvel thing. The Nexus of all realities is in Florida Everglades in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could travel to other dimensions through it. Man-Thing was previously the guardian of the Nexus of all realities, but now Howard is the Nexus of all realities.
Dude, I don't remember why. Is he the Nexus now?
I think it had, didn't it have something to do with that Infinity Glove or something, or was it something in issue one? I can't remember.
I don't even remember, to be honest. It's just, I just something
use
I just.
The glove on the site of the Nexus of All Realities.
There
which
you
moved
go.
The Nexus of All Realities inside him.
Yeah. So now, a lot of people are after him. Apparently he ran into the Stranger. The Stranger wants to use him to create a totally new universe because I guess that's one of the powers that they use.
Mm-hmm.
So he can explore this new universe without having to deal with the Avengers and Thanos. It almost shows like, they killed off, the clones and, his, human friend. But apparently he had transported him off the ship before.
Yeah, they blew up the spaceship that they were on, and it's not like you saw an escape pod or anything. But the way the Nexus of All Realities works, if Howard thinks about it enough, he can transport people as well as himself to different places.
Yeah, so he sent them to where the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
And that's pretty much the end of this book?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
So we wouldn't have a giant expose on the characters like we did in last issue, but still a good, solid read.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Well, the good news is now Rocket is going to meet Shocket.
Yes, they just ran into each other at the end of the issue.
Yeah, so Rocket finally met another one of his people.
Well, remember there was another one of his people that in his solo book, but he never.
But,
remember?
Didn't it turn out that wasn't really?
But yeah, I think so. But there was another one at the end that they showed.
Yeah, at the end of the arc, we stopped reading it.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever ran into him or if they just dropped that story.
And technically, this is just a clone, so it's not even you could say part of his.
It kind of is.
But it's not like she's gonna know where there's more of him. She's like she's no, just a clone, so she's just.
But they can make more.
Oh, yeah.
Are they technically having sex with themselves?
Yeah.
No, because it's not, they're not exactly the same. It's a female, they are females created using the genetic makeup of the other ones. So no, because they're females. So it's not, it'd be kind of like having sex with your identical twin.
That still counts.
But since there's only two of you, the DNA isn't degraded enough that you would probably all be all right to have kids, like Adam and Eve.
You've given this a lot of thought, haven't you?
I just did.
Just in case things don't work out with your wife, you're just going to clone yourself? Make it a female?
That would be so awesome if I could have a kid with me. Love it.
Okay, let's move on to our next book. A book that you managed to convince me to add to our regular list. Old New Wolverine number 3, writer Tom Taylor, art by David Lopez.
Okay, so in the last issue, Alchemax came to kill all of the Wolverine clones who are going to die anyway.
Yes.
Because they built a limited life into them. All new Wolverine.
You can just call her Wolverine.
We just call her Wolverine.
Yeah, that's what everybody does in the book.
Okay, well, Wolverine ends up fighting all the Alchemax guys, and they're like, oh, yeah, now we got to kill them. And she's like, no, we can't kill them. You know, they might have children. And one of them brings up a very good point. She's like, well, what about that one? You cut all his fingers off. What if he was a concert pianist on the side? You ruined his life.
You have a very inconsistent rule on whether or not how you do stuff.
Yeah, so they all go to escape, and then they end up getting chased by more Alchemax goons or the Alchemax goons she didn't kill. She jumps off to go attack them. Stops them. I've completely forgotten what happened.
Yeah, there was a lot. It was an action-heavy book. You forgot the opening part where they fight Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah, because Taskmaster showed up at the end. Yeah, I was upset about that because he got jobbed out.
He got jobbed out a lot, dude, though. So.
Yeah, Taskmaster showed up at the end of the last issue, and it was supposed to be a big deal. He was supposed to kill them. Told Wolverine he wasn't going to kill her, and, you know, Wolverine smacked him around, and then I believe he got shot.
Yeah, and then, you know, he was, I can think, what was it, Wolverine or the clones were gonna kill him, they convinced not
the
to.
Clones, the
yeah,
clones.
Yeah, the clones were gonna kill Taskmaster, and then Wolverine convinced them not to.
Yeah.
And, like so. I said, action, they were being chased by the Alchemax eyes, and that's all I remember about this book.
Yeah, well, I did, at one point they realized, you know, the reason they caught up to him so fast is because they put a tracker in X-23. But
also they were driving a tank down downtown where it was.
Well, there was that too. Yeah. Because yeah, I forgot to mention that they escaped in a tank.
And then they mentioned the line of dialogue. It's like, how do they know where we are? It's like, well, we are driving a giant tank through downtown the wrong way.
Eh. Well, you know,
it's a good book. Not as a, I don't see why you were ranting, Raven. This, in fact, is a good book, but it's not
the
like
the first two issues were better than this. But I don't want that to say this is a bad issue. It was just, it was really, really action heavy, so there's not a lot to talk about.
Okay, so like I said, it wasn't a bad book, but I'm just like, I don't see what the ranting and Raven was all about. Even though you didn't exactly rant and rave, but you just put it over. All right, let's move on to our next book, Amazing Spider-Man number 6, writer Dan Slott, art by Matteo Buffini. Which I want to talk at length about this because I've finally joined Marvel and I'm like, I have no idea what Dan Slott's doing. I don't know where the direction of this book is going, and I seriously want to drop it.
I think it's good. It's different, but I mean, I don't get what people want. Do you want the same Spider-Man stories that we've been getting forever?
No, I want good Spider-Man stories, and this is not a good Spider-Man story.
I don't think this is a bad Spider-Man story. I was a little disappointed that they moved to a new storyline before resolving the last one. But like I said, I think the reason they did that is because, they're trying to get Scorpio over as a threat. And he is the biggest. I mean, they have legitimately made him a threat. He has multiple things going. He's very powerful now. You know, they did that, but now they're dealing with something else. And now they're doing, Mr. Negative, and which is a Dan Slott character. And was there somebody else involved?
Cloak and Dagger, for whatever reason.
Yeah, but Mr. Negative has Cloak and Dagger mind control.
Yeah, he has a mind control. Yeah, he's in China. I don't even know why he's in China. But apparently there's something that Peter has or can do for Mr. Negative that leads him to kidnap Peter.
Yes. Well, he's in China because the Chinese division of Parker Industries needed help with something.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of boring, to be honest. I thought it was.
That's why he's there. No, I actually agree on this issue. I thought this issue was kind of boring, but I think
what do you want? You want the same Spider-Man story?
Because the storyline that they were developing with the new villain and Spider-Man's new place in the world, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
It's just this story, which is a new story, I think is boring.
I just don't much care for the villain. It's like, you don't need to
it's a different villain now.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, you don't need the same villains in every story, but if you're going to make a new villain, make them interesting.
Yeah, I thought he was interesting, but he didn't appear in this issue at all.
Okay.
This issue had a different villain.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Captain America White, number 5, writer Jeff Loeb, art by Tim Sale.
Okay, you know what? This should have been lightning round.
Told you.
Yeah.
They won, and Cap wants to have sex with Bucky.
At the end of the issue, he might have had sex with that chick.
Yeah, he might have had sex with that chick, but the stuff going on with him and Bucky, they were really close friends.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up, it was basically like one, it was a Captain America story. It was a 5-issue story. They stopped the Red Skull from blowing up the Eiffel Tower. You know, he kissed the chick for once, possibly had sex with her.
And I like when Bucky asks, he's like, a gentleman never kisses and tells.
It was the first girl he ever kissed.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, he's,
although I'm offended, it wasn't an American.
Well.
He was in France. You gotta hate.
No excuse.
The only other Americans there were Bucky, who he might have been kissing, and, Nick Fury.
Reading this book, you have to question might have been?
Fury ain't down with that.
Well, Bucky, from what I understand, didn't swing that weight also, no.
Well, neither did Cap, but I'm just saying, I got that sense.
Yeah, I know. Cap just really likes Bucky.
He should have saved
it. Like a lot.
Like a little too much.
They showed him at the end when the end froze him, and he found out that, Bucky was still dead.
I did have a problem with this. Cap at one point indicated, You know, I would rather save Bucky than save the world. Like, he almost said that.
Well,
like, you know, saving the world's good and everything, but, like, saving Bucky, that's the most important thing.
No, I understand where he's coming from in the sense that he feels obligated to protect Bucky because he let him fight. So obviously he doesn't want anything to happen to him. But at the same time, I'm just thinking then why let Bucky fight?
Well, I think part of the reason was, because he found out Cap's identity and he thought, well, you know, I can protect him and, you know, as long as he's, you know, cause, you know, a lot of the stuff that Cap does is, behind enemy lines and he's not on the front lines usually, you know, he's like, oh, he could be like a scout or something.
He thought, yeah, but as, who was it who wrote that? Brubaker? Who wrote the big long Cap run and, Winter Soldier? Was that Brubaker?
Yes.
That was in fact Brubaker.
Okay. As he showed, Bucky was in fact a assassin who snuck behind enemy lines and was slitting guys' throats and stuff.
Going
them
like
pigs.
That's
not exactly safe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually more dangerous.
Well, they would never suspect the kid.
Well, yeah, but when they find an American kid there and there are people who are dead, like they're, not like they're like, Oh, Mr. Bucky, let's keep you safe. You're just a kinder kid. Like, no, they were the Nazis. And Bucky might have been part Jew. I don't know. They might have killed him.
Yeah, there you go.
They don't like the Jews. So I'm told.
You don't say. We may have to do some research.
Might have been some racism going on with the Nazis there.
You don't say.
Sure.
Do tell.
Yeah, the story ended, and Batroc's grandpa went out like a jobber, just like Batroc.
the apple doesn't fall from the tree.
Oh.
All right, let's move on to our next book. Carnage number 3, writer Jerry Conway, art by Mike Perkins.
I don't want to read this anymore.
Really? I like this book.
I'm bored already. It's like Carnage is a bad guy, and... he's fighting Werewolf Jameson and
Marvel. Whatever. Are you reading this book or no?
No, I've never read it.
Oh, okay. You're missing out. They kind of teased the whole thing with Eddie Brock in the sense that when he lost the Venom symbiote, he kind of when law enforcement when they brought him to justice, he said, "Oh, the alien symbiote made me do it." And so they kind of let that go. But when they first had the opportunity to give him the symbiote again, he immediately leaped at the opportunity when he was going to fight Carnage. So then in this issue, they kind of speculate, oh, maybe there's something going on. Like maybe there's more of a foot than what's on the surface than the stuff with Carnage and the mineshaft owner.
Maybe, but the mineshaft owner ends up taking Carnage to the bottom of the mine where there's like ancient runes and he needs Carnage to take over the world.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I'm not so many jobbers in this book.
Well, there's Eddie Brock who's going to get that
jobber.
That poison, whatever the hell they're calling it, that knockoff
toxic,
there we go.
Or toxic. Yeah.
You have Jameson's son who's the werewolf. And you got Carnage.
I don't want to read Carnage unless he's fighting Spider-Man is what this made me realize.
Maybe I just have a soft spot for Carnage cuz I also like that one Axis series that they had where he's a good guy.
He's a cool design, but he's not...
yeah, he's not the most fully developed character.
Yeah, all he wants to do is kill people.
I feel like he was just exclusively designed when Venom started to get over, and they wanted to make him a babyface, and they had to figure out...
well, they needed an evil one. No, they needed a more evil Venom. So they're like, oh, let's take there's a serial killer against a symbiote. Yeah. If you think about Carnage's backstory, it's like the most 90s backstory ever. Like, oh, what's more extreme than Venom? Oh, a serial killer Venom. Oh, and he's red and he makes swords. It's like, okay. Whatever.
You're not wrong.
That's what he is. But you know what? To his credit, he has stuck around.
Yeah, he is quite popular, all things considered. Whether or not you want to judge the quality that he is of a character, but he has stuck around. I like the books, even though, you know what the thing is? I'm not a big fan of the character. So the fact that I still like his books, at least.
Well, the book isn't about him.
He was
the primary character in the first issue, but since then he's just been the villain, and it's not even from his point of view.
Yeah, so I still like the book. I'll continue to lighten around it.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Obi-Wan and Anakin, number 1, writer Charles Soule, art by Marco Cicchetto.
I thought this wasn't coming out till next week.
Nope.
Okay. Came out this week. Came out early.
Yep. Here's another one I didn't read.
Oh, you missed out, homie.
Yeah, I bet it was good, and I'll have to.
Remember
have
the
to
artist from
now,
Avengers but... World that you guys always put over? Hello? Was that just him hanging up?
No, that's him, I don't know, doing what.
Oh, okay. Well, you recognize the artist, right?
I'm not talking.
Okay, that's fine. Marvel, what did you think of the story?
It was pretty good. Obi-Wan and Anakin get a distress signal from a planet that apparently had experienced nuclear holocaust back in the day.
Yeah, you had some dialogue of Anakin and Obi-Wan. They're going back and forth. They're debating, you know, that this city that was, you know, they ultimately blew themselves up. And Anakin asked, why didn't any of the Jedi try to interject? And first of all, he said, well, they didn't ask for our help. And second of all, you know, sometimes with the Jedi, we're kind of spread out. There's only like 1,000 of us or the thousands
they said,
of us.
They said 10,000.
Yeah, there's only 10,000 of us and there's a big giant galaxy out there. And the fact of the matter is sometimes you just got to let people, you know, destroy themselves.
No, he said if they're that, if it's to that point where, you know, they would, you know, destroy themselves, then they're probably beyond help to begin with.
Yeah, and that's a legit point. So it's one of those things where they were too quick to sow the seeds of Anakin already making his turn.
Yeah, he's talking about how he's already want to leave the Order.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, you can't do that a couple issues down the line. I think, because I would imagine the focus of this book should be the close relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin. But if you're already in issue one, you're already teasing the descent. I mean, even though he didn't turn on Obi-Wan, he was just questioning all these things about the Jedi Council.
They also, they showed him, I guess, like in the past, I guess when he first came into the Academy or something.
Yeah.
People didn't like him. Was that the Emperor Palpatine already?
Yeah, it was when he was still, I don't know if he was still the Senator or not, but yeah, that was in fact Palpatine.
Yeah, I think he was a senator or something.
Yeah.
He's already scouting him out. He's like freaking scouting him. He's like, oh, there's my new Seth guy.
He's a dead man.
they meet up with the survivors at the end. They don't know what the hell the Jedi are. But they're like, well, you guys, somebody summoned us. So
yeah, that was pretty much the end of this book. They're like, oh, we're the Jedi that you summoned. And then they were like, what are Jedis? So, I like this book. The art's really great. The story's really good. You know, obviously Charles Soule, so you're gonna get some good stuff here.
Yeah, the art was really good.
Yeah, really good. So. But like I said, I criticize it, but really it's just a nitpick. It's a really good book. One of the better Star Wars books. Something to keep an eye out if you're a big fan of Star Wars. Alright, let's move on to our next book, Spider-Man 2099, number 5, writer Peter David, art by Will. Let's see if it pronounces Sliney. Good book?
I don't know his name. It's Captain America from 2099 teamed up with Spider-Man from 2099. Captain America from 2099 is apparently nuts and thinks her family from the future is living with her in the present, even though they're not. Venture...
Quig.
Quag? Quig? Whatever he's calling himself. He escaped again and then met up with mysterious villain who is probably from 2099 and the Fist.
Yeah, they showed one of the leaders of the Fist at the end. Apparently they recruited Quig. Apparently their master plan is to destroy the United States.
Yeah, and by the way, when we say one of the leaders of the Fist,
hold on.
Me and Marvel want to point out, we don't know who the Fist are.
I think they're new.
She was kind of like a ninja, and she was wearing red, right?
Yeah, she had some weird mask type.
So, like the hand.
Sort of, but I don't know if there actually are, like, ninjas.
You know what?
They look ninja-like.
Maybe they're a better version of the hand, because the hand, all the hand can do is slap.
I see where you're going with this. Oh, my God.
Fist can punch you.
Can punch you in certain places and make you feel good.
Yeah, or that. I mean, it's what you want. You want to be fisted or you want a hand job?
Apparently, I don't know, but the next issue doesn't look like they're going to deal with this. I think it's going to go somewhere else, I think.
I don't know.
It seemed that way.
We need to figure out what's going on, why 2099 is apparently invading, you know. Now.
He mentioned he had some sort of portal. He can only stay in the past for like an hour or something.
Yeah, they developed a time machine in 2016, but they're still working out the kinks in the sense that he can only travel to 2099 for about an hour.
Well, is Maestro still running 2099?
That's what I assume.
I don't know.
So, isn't he up in a satellite doing Contest of Champions?
He's somewhere. Oh, by the way, I read the last issue. The current Tony Stark was in that book, but they dropped him out this past issue. Apparently, they wiped his memory, so he thinks it was maybe a weird dream or something. It was actually with
how convenient.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our final book, Squadron Supreme number 2, writer James Robinson, art by Leonard Clark.
Fat Man explained to me that it's supposed to be this way. Nighthawk has really unnerving eyes.
This book, before that, this felt like an issue 1 instead of an issue 2.
It did.
A little bit.
Like, it definitely took place after issue 1. Because they were dealing with some of the fallout from, them killing, Narmer.
Mm-hmm.
And destroying Atlantis. So they kind of dealt with that, but the two parts of this issue were Power Princess apparently has sex with guys and sucks their life force out. And that's how she stays young, which I thought the whole point of this book was supposed to be the people are, you know, they're not evil, but they're not really acting like good guys. She is actively killing people.
Yeah, they're supposed to be anti-heroes, not all-in-all villains.
Now, her defense of it is, you know, what I'm doing is for the greater good. And maybe she's only having sex with evil people.
Well, that's also,
or maybe she's not even having sex with them.
That also seems to be the theme of the Squadron Supreme. Each member is a very shade of gray, whereas Hyperion sort of he goes along with the idea, but you can kind of tell he's the one that if any of them are going to be kind of skeptical.
He wants to discover himself and discover America, so he's going to be a truck driver.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, so Hyperion is hanging out in, I don't know, fucking somewhere in the South. And he's just talking to this guy who's putting over being a trucker. And now it's the greatest thing. This is bullshit, by the way.
I know. I can agree. Yeah, I can testify.
Truckers. It is not the greatest job on earth. But this old man was very happy with his job as a trucker. And Hyperion wants to get to – he feels like he doesn't know the people. But this guy told him, you know, you get to know a lot of people, or you're a truck driver. Blah, 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 blah. So Hyperion is apparently going to be a truck driver.
I hope that's his solo series, because they've announced that they're going to do a Nighthawk and a Hyperion single series, and I hope that's it.
Oh, I can't wait to read Hyperion bitching about his freight and how his dispatcher's lying to him and how the government tried to fuck him. I can't wait to read that.
They cut the hole on the chair so they can poop while they're driving.
That's only the Polish drivers. All right? The Americans and the Mexicans don't do that. Damn it.
Well, you can smell them coming from miles away.
And Hyperion wouldn't drive vans. Come on. He's a man.
He's a man.
But most of this issue was Nighthawk being Batman. Badass Batman. And having really creepy eyes. And then at the end, the Uncanny Avengers showed up for the first time again. So, and the next issue, the cover is the squadron standing over the dead bodies of the Uncanny Avengers.
Good.
Which I hope is how it actually ends.
That'd be great.
I don't like that team.
Nah.
By the way, Cable was not there.
Good.
So Cable, not official. So this takes place before what's going on in Uncanny Avengers.
Or after. They're,
oh, yeah, it could be after. You're right. So Cable's not going to be a permanent member of the team?
I didn't think he would be.
Oh, boo. Oh. Might as well. If you're going to do a complete jobber team of Avengers, might as well just add Cable, right?
Have a job out to Squadron Spree.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, they're going to beat up such... Yeah, Hyperion is going to beat up... Deadpool, that'll be really impressive. They probably won't kill them though, because they are heroes.
True. Well, not all of them. Like, some of them have shady paths,
well,
like Deadpool.
They could. Yeah, well, he's trying though.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of it.
great feeling all time I had all my life.
Gentlemen, picks.
I think it will go with Code Brew.
Wow, okay.
I like Code Brew. It's really funny. I wasn't overly impressed with a lot this week. I'm going to go with Lazarus because it had my favorite action scenes.
Nice. Now, to be different, I kind of want to say Rat Queens, but I got to be honest, best book of the week was Code Brew.
All right. There you go, Garth Ennis.
Congrats. All right, let's move on to our final segment, next week's books. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. Okay, I made the confusion of thinking it was going to be a light week next week. Boy, was I wrong.
Well, it's not superly heavy, but I just want to point out you guys both picked the book that had a fat girl with a strap on as a plot point. Gay. That's all. Okay, we have Archie number 5. Fiona Staples not drawing. I have to warn you.
Do I dare read
off this book?
Do I dare read?
It's still a good story.
Bane switch.
It is a bait and switch, unless she's coming back. Maybe when Saga goes on hiatus, she'll come back.
I'm gonna be mad if we're 5 issues in and she still hasn't come back.
Well, we are 5 issues in and she hasn't come back. No, I mean, issue 3.
No, I mean, another 5 issues in and she still hasn't come back. I'm like, she's not coming back ever, is she?
We have Sheriff of Babylon, number 2.
Jeez, I forgot this book.
I want to try to read Swamp Thing 1 of 6. Now, Swamp Thing is very often good. This is going to sound weird. This might not be as good. Swamp Thing's original creator is writing this. Now, the thing to note on this is I want to read it because it's a mini series. And usually when they do a 6-issue mini, they have one story to tell and it might be good. The thing is, though, Swamp Thing got really weird and crazy and good after his original creator left. So I'm not sure what this is going to be, but I want to try it.
Okay. So, I want to try it if just for the sole reason of playing this song.
Isn't that Wild Thing?
No, you'd be incorrect.
Is this from the cartoon?
Yes. Yes, it is. You wouldn't believe this, but as a kid, I heard that song before I heard Wild Thing.
I think the first time I heard Wild Thing was Major League.
Yeah, that movie was might have been the first.
It's probably in that movie.
I'm younger than you guys, so my first impression would be the Swamp Thing cartoon show.
Have you never seen Major League?
No, I've seen Major League. I've seen them all.
It's hilarious.
I made the mistake of also seeing the last one, so.
Weren't there like 4?
Yeah, the first 2 or 3 were really good, and then the last one or the last 2 were really bad.
Movie has so many hats for bats. Keep hats for.
I think that's going to be all of our drops next week. Just stuff.
Or when they go to the nice restaurant, Charlie Sheen has the ripped up like tuxedo shirt, and then he just puts a tie over it, and he's sitting there. He's like, I feel like a banker in this thing. It's so great. Are we reading Paper Girl still? Because I thought the end of the last issue put it on an interesting...
I'm on the fence. Wherever Marvel goes, I'll go.
I'll probably read it.
All right, Paper Girls.
Okay. So, Paper Girls, and then we have A-Force number 1.
Marvel, you don't want to go off on Paper Girls?
What?
Being number 10 on CBR's top 10 books of 2015?
Well, I was more upset with the Squirrel Girl number 5.
Sorry, A-Force, I got that.
A-Force? Darth Vader 15.
Darth Vader.
Sipsy Gexid. Doctor Strange number 4. Does that book come out every other week?
No, it's been a while since that one came out, so.
Really?
I think the first issue was like 2 weeks, and then like the third issue was, there was time, and this one had time in between.
Oh, okay. Guardians of Infinity number 2. Um, Invincible Iron Man, number 5.
Hooray.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
Miracle Man by Gaiman of Buckingham, number 6.
I'm just going to put Miracle Man.
Cheat. Spider-Gwen, number 4.
Hooray!
Now, normally we wouldn't read this, but there is a Spider-Man Deadpool crossover.
Yeah, here's the thing. I initially didn't put it in the list because I thought you guys are kind of down on Deadpool.
It's written by Joe Kelly, who was by far the best Deadpool writer ever.
Mm-hmm.
So put this on the maybe.
Okay. Spider-Man.
Because I like
Deadpool.
Star Wars.
So many Star Wars.
Totally Awesome Hulk, number 2.
Has what's his name weighed in on what he thinks of Hulk? No hugger?
I don't know. I haven't phoned.
He's fine with
it. Oh, he's fine with it? Huh.
Ultimates, number 3.
Hooray! I'm calling that book of the week right now.
Miracle Man comes out this week. I don't know about that.
I haven't been too keen on Miracle Man in a while, though.
We don't pick Miracle Man as book of the week. It's cheating. Uncanny X-Men, number 1. We're going to try it because it's number 1.
Who's writing it?
I don't know.
It's, what's his name? It's,
Meyer again?
Colin Bunn.
Yeah, Bunn.
Okay.
Could be good, could be not. I don't know. We'll try it. Vision, number 3.
Is that your book of the week right there?
I don't know. I haven't read it. Exo Manowar 43, because it says all new arc, all new jumping on point, Exo Manowar and Ninjak.
Oh, they're begging us to read this then.
Yeah. So, Robert Venditti.
Yeah, he does good stuff with what's it called, Valiant.
Yeah, so that's his, that's one of the other Valiant writers.
Okay, so with all that, it comes out to 17 books.
Okay.
And which, so, some of the stuff I don't think Marvel you're gonna read, so.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I think that's gonna do it for this week's, books. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show, and as always, see you next week. And because I like the song so much, I'm gonna close out with Swamp Thing.
You are amazing.
Oh God, I'm looking at you listen to this whole thing now.
Come on, fight for right. We need Swamp Thing. You are amazing.